Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, it's the last day of June, the last day of the second quarter, and I don't think really the precious metals in terms of stocks or silver could be ending this quarter any worse, because we're about to see, barring some sort of big selling to come in the last about hour and a half of trading, we're going to see GDX, GDXJ, silver, and SIL all break and close the month at multi-year lows. Technically, breakdowns here can't be good as we turn the corner. It just goes to show just how tough this month has been, and quite frankly, how tough it's been for the last about year and a half now, even 2 years after that peak. Craig, what's your takeaway from this weakness to end this month, this quarter, and these technical breakdowns?
Well, it does look ugly, and that's usually when things are about at a low. It has been my experience, and whatever it's been, decade plus of doing this, you know, it's always the old TFMR adage is you got to buy some when things look the ugliest and sell some when things look the best. And it looks pretty ugly, so I'm going to blow a little sunshine up your skirt, Corey, if you'd like. I think actually we are very close. You guys will recall how many times since late last year, and then again early this year with our annual forecast, we discussed the possibility, if not likelihood, that all this Fed stuff would break silver down below 22 on the weekly chart, which would break that flag, and it might fall all the way down to fill an old gap on the weekly chart down around 1975. And that has been on my radar, like I said, since, I don't know, didn't have to happen. I'm not one of these people who thinks every gap has to be filled, but it has been something we've been discussing in my sight for now, in what, 9 months. And now here we are getting real close. The silver, for whatever reason, often is very closely correlated with the GDX. And when the GDX started breaking down below 2890 or so a couple of days ago, that kind of foreshadowed maybe this coming in silver. And all these things kind of line up for maybe one little final washout in my eyes, below 20. And support in the GDX looks around 26 now that it's below 29, maybe just north of 26. All those things might come together early next week. It looks like we're going to get a death cross and a technical washout in gold as well. First part of the month hasn't really been good to us lately. In the precious metals, all these things may be combining to bring one last bit of pain, maybe early next week. And then as we get into July, next Friday, the 8th, we'll bring the next jobs report in the U.S. Well, already we're seeing all kinds of horrible contraction economic data. Even the Atlanta Fed GDP Now model today went into contraction for the second quarter, which if it verifies, that will place the U.S. officially in recession with two quarters of contraction in a row. And like I said, the data is definitely has been slowing like crazy, and that's why Atlanta Fed's now negative. So there's at least a chance that maybe we get this final washout early next week and then begin to turn on, you know, this recognition that the Fed is going to have to pivot, that the recession fears will outweigh the inflation fears, that they won't get Fed funds up above the rate of inflation before they pivot, and that might begin to lift us out of the ashes as we make it into the second half of the year.
Yeah, Craig, we'll see if we can pull a phoenix out of the ashes here. I do think it's interesting that, like you mentioned, silver seems to be highly correlated with the mining stocks, and yep, when either is falling, and like they are here to close the month, the quarter, sometimes at max pain, that is the point where the turn is getting near. Tying that into what the Fed's doing and the worries about recession and having two potential negative quarters in a row of GDP negative growth, do you think there's a point where generalist investors will start not just fleeing to the U.S. dollar for a safe haven, but maybe coming back to good old gold and silver? Is there that realization that this isn't going to be transitory? Because for the most part, while we know it's not been transitory, most people have thought this will pass. When people realize it's not passing and we're in a recession, do you think they'll get a safe haven bid, the precious metals?
Well, you never know about silver. It's such an unusual thing. But gold, I would argue maybe, Shed, that's the only reason gold has held up. As we speak, what's it down? Maybe 1% year to date? To me, I think the reason why it's held in there as well as it has is because people are looking forward to where, you know, this is ultimately headed in terms of monetary policies. Why should I go ahead and blow out my gold if I know that the Fed is going to have to turn before the end of the year anyway? And in fact, the Fed funds futures are starting to show the first rate cuts, if not in the first quarter of 2023, maybe as soon as December. So as that starts to impact things, the history has been in the past that when the Fed, when the curtain is pulled back and the Fed is shown to be full of it in regards to quantitative tightening and normalizing interest rates and all that kind of stuff, that's when the generalist investors turn to precious metals. And that's when, I mean, most recently, I mean, let's just go back to when we wrap up 2018, like at about 1250. And by the Fed changed policy in June of 19, and by September of 19, we're up near 1600. So that was a pretty substantial rally. And then, of course, you know, the most recent example is the collapse with COVID, and we went down to 14 something. And then the Fed, again, obviously rolled out all the QE stuff in March of 2020. And we went to 2100. So it's when that curtain gets pulled back and everybody gets reminded again that there is no way out, that is, that's when the generalist investor and just about everybody starts surging into the metals again. That's coming again. Again, I just can't imagine a scenario with the economy already crashing where the Fed is going to, you know, make it all the way to whatever they say they're going to, 3.8% or something. So, and like I said, the Fed funds future already showing that the expectation is they may start cutting again as soon as just 6 months from now. So that will eventually impact sentiment and turn price. And I just say, you know, again, if we start getting data in July that suggests and maybe starts moving that cutting timetable up a bit, that we may very well be near a bottom right here at this point.
Although if the Fed is going to continue hiking for another, I don't know, 2-3 meetings, that could weigh on the markets broadly. And that's kind of the thing, I think, is that we get so focused on what precious metals and precious metals stocks are doing. Gold is hanging up very well. When you look at the big picture, the gold stocks, silver stocks, those are all selling off. They're crashing, but a lot of other sectors are crashing, right? So do we need to almost take a step back and just realize the fact that this is a bear market broadly? We've talked about this before, but this is a bear market. And it's hard to expect heavy inflows of cash to come into any stocks, even if they're gold stocks, no matter what the gold bugs want to say.
Yeah, until the all clear is given again. You're absolutely right, Corey. And that all clear will be when the Fed is recognized to have halted whatever that is they're trying to do. And you're right. Mining stocks are stocks, after all, and everything with a bid is getting sold. And, you know, when we were talking about, you know, we went from the dot-com bubble to the real estate bubble to the everything bubble. Well, what happened when the bubble burst? The dot-com stuff all blew up and fell. And then when the real estate bubble burst, the real estate market fell. Well, if this is the everything bubble, then that would imply that everything is going to fall. And that's exactly what we're seeing all the way, you know, Bitcoin. I mean, anything, you name it. And I'm not suggesting that it's all over right here as we speak on June the 30th, but sometime in the next several months, there's a recognition is going to come that the U.S. economy, like I said, is already in recession. Inflation is going to remain sticky, however. The Fed's going to have to reverse policy. And at that point, real interest rates will be noticeably negative, even based off inflation expectations. And that's when the metals will be rallying again.
Yeah, Craig, it reminds me of the point you made earlier this year, or maybe even last year, about the one universal chart that everything is the everything bubble is being deflated right now, and eventually they will try to reinflate the everything bubble. I'd like to get your reaction, though, to I know one of your favorite people on the planet, the Fed, Powell's response yesterday. He said the way to do that when he was talking about curbing inflation is to slow down economic growth, but ideally keep it positive. And they've already messaged that, you know, that they want to hit the stock markets and hit that wealth effect. But he went on to say there is a risk that the Fed may go too far and cause a recession. And then the Fed chief stressed that the biggest threat to the economy isn't the Fed overshooting monetary policy tightening, but rather failing to restore price stability. When you hear things like that, do you think he just may keep plowing forward with the rate hikes and throw everybody a wild card?
It's possible. I mean, they're openly lying with their message. Okay, I mean that is totally clear. At least when the Ben Bernanke used to talk about economic growth and all that kind of stuff off the what are always kind of manipulated government statistics. At least the statistics still showed a positive, and he could fall back upon that and say, well, no, look, GDP is plus 1.2% or whatever. Powell and his minions are saying the U.S. economy is strong and robust when their own data shows that it's not. So they're just spinning at this point, trying to create room to cut rates again in the future. That's, in the end of the day, that's all they're doing. I'll give you, here's something else, though, Shed, that and again for Corey and anybody listening, that I don't think anybody is talking about. The Fed, as the self-perceived masters of the universe, think they have all this under control, that they're just going to hike rates and jawbone rates higher, and then at some point they're going to stop, and the economy will slow, and then all this funds are going to start flowing back into treasuries again, and rates are going to go back down, and the economy is going to pick up again. Well, what if those funds don't flow back into treasuries? I mean, the Japanese have become net sellers of treasuries. What's the last month of data? It was like $60 billion of net selling. And then you got, you know, the BRIC countries, whether it's Russia or China or whatever, that have all learned a very painful lesson in the last, well, since March, when the U.S. Not only cut Russia out of SWIFT, but they seized about $400 billion that are offshore foreign currency reserves and froze them. Well, so now all of a sudden, the Russians, who obviously weren't a big player in this anyway, but the Chinese, too, have figured out, whoa, wait a second. We get sideways with the U.S., they'll just cut us off. And the Chinese are now net sellers of treasuries as well. Now, I know there's $2.2 trillion in reverse overnight repo that maybe the Fed thinks that'll flow out and support a bid for the treasury market. I don't know. I mean, $2.2 trillion, I should say. But I think they're playing a very dangerous game in assuming that the flow of funds is going to come right back into the bond market as soon as they tank the economy in reverse course. What if it doesn't? And what if, a nominal long-term interest rates actually continue to climb because the Fed's not in there buying and there's nobody on the bid, and the 10-year instead of coming down goes to 4 and 5 and mortgage rates go to 6 and 8. How would that throw? So, and eventually then what happens is the Fed then goes, oh, I guess we're the buyer of last resort. And just like the Japanese have to put on a yield curve control policy, where basically they end up just being the bond market. I mean, I think that might be a little bullish for the metals, but over the long term, instead of us getting all caught up in the short term, I guess maybe that's just another thing we should all be thinking about.
Yeah, so some things to look ahead to, right? But it does all hinge a lot still on central banks, and investors, unfortunately, still are just shying away from making any risky bets or any bets at all. And quite frankly, look, gold is still done okay, but silver is moving down. Everything's moving down. It's just a tough environment, Craig. And recapping this year, recapping last year, people were making money in other sectors. It's just been tough for the mining sector. And the investors, I don't think they're paying that much attention. And the younger investors, they're not being sucked into this sector because the stocks are still going down and gold's not doing anything. So how do the younger, the newer investors come into this sector when still, and everyone points to history of the gold sector, it's unfortunately been boring.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess there's kind of a difference there between someone with assets that's looking to preserve their wealth versus someone without a whole lot of assets, younger people maybe, that are looking to grow and grow quickly. And gold and the mining shares are just not on that radar, like you said. Now, 2, 3, 4 years from now, if we get back into a late 70s type environment where some of the mining shares, went from 50 cents to $5 and beyond, then, time to start selling stuff again. But gosh, you look around and you just see such great value. I mean, there are some of these, and you guys, I'm sure, talked to all the CEOs. I mean, there are some of these just mining stocks where the story hasn't changed. The assets are sitting on, the resource they're sitting on is still in the ground, but yet the stock is down, from $1 to 25 cents. So there are opportunities there. Eric Sprott has told me on a number of occasions that his old line used to be, you've got to be comfortable being in the room by yourself at the party. Now, right now is not necessarily a party. It's more like a wake, but you've got to be, you got to be comfortable, you know, in your own skin and committed to what you see as what the fundamentals are. And if you are, and then if you're proven correct, you're going to be richly rewarded. But again, the moral of the story at this point is, though, at the, you know, in this day and for the next, you know, whatever week or weeks, whatever, it's a pretty challenging environment, no doubt about that.
Yes, it is, unfortunately. And look, you've outlined some potential positives down the road here, but there's still a lot of question marks, and we don't know what the Fed is going to do. I find people always trying to predict what the Fed's going to do, but quite frankly, again, you don't know, and there's always a lot of bias in those predictions because, look, a lot of different economic data plays into their decisions, and quite frankly, they seem okay with markets and the economy moving lower. Who knows how long that'll be?
Corey, before you wrap up, I mean, the Fed doesn't know what they're going to do either. I mean, that was Powell in his press conference 2 weeks ago said, you know, don't look at this as some kind of plan. Okay, we're going to have to assess this, and no one really knows where we're going to be 6 or 12 months from now. So that we're all, even the Fed doesn't know. We're all kind of flying by the seats of our pants. So anyway, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but.
Hey, no problem, Craig. Good ending there. We're turning the corner, second half of the year. Let's hope it's not nearly as bad as the first half for a lot of these stocks. Thanks for your time, Craig. Have a great long weekend.
Yeah, you too, guys.